This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And welcome in to Rush the Field. I'm Jay Binkley, along with producer Julio Sanchez, as we talk college football for a straight hour. What a night on 610 Sports Radio. Yeah, players only, Dayton and Hughes. Mark Collins in here. Joe May's off tonight from the Chris Klieman Show. A very happy Chris Klieman. He's got Texas this weekend after a nice win against Oklahoma. Last weekend, the week before last, the Sunflower Showdown beatdown over Kansas. They'll play Texas this weekend. Usual cast of characters joined me tonight. John Kurtz, host of Faithful to Our Colors podcast on the 435 Podcast Networks. All things Kansas State. He's got a great one that he put out last week about Michael Bishop, played with Tom Brady there in New England, a Kansas State legend, plus University of Missouri with Gary Pinkel as he joins us each and every week, and Josh Klingler, Kansas football sideline reporter, as we round out the local schools. Talking some local football, then we'll get into some playoffs right here. But what a weekend. Talked last week a lot about the Sunflower Showdown with Kansas State and just how important that game was for Kansas State and Kansas, to be honest with you, too. First sellout since 2009 in Lawrence. A lot of Kansas State fans were there, but that so be it. But Kansas State fans obviously fired up, and I'm not sure they'd go to Lawrence if it wasn't for what was going on in Manhattan, Kansas, how good that team played against Oklahoma. People are buying in to Chris Klieman. This is somebody that I think they're starting to come around to, and why shouldn't they? Kansas State right now, 20th in the AP, 22nd in the coaches poll. Not only that, the one that matters is the college football playoff rankings. Kansas State ranked 16th. Now they're getting respect. They did not get respect in the Big 12 preseason media poll. Matter of fact, they were picked 9th in the Big 12. A lot of wait and see. And I think that's the way it's been with the recruits in the state of Kansas as well. We've talked about the top 10 recruits in the state of Kansas, the high school football recruits. Number 7, 9, and 10 committed to Kansas State. And then you got to go beyond that, 11 and 12 going to Kansas. The number one recruit in the state, lineman from Lawrence Free State, going to Nebraska. Top running back in the state, going to Minnesota. Top receiver in the state from Bishop Miege, going to Minnesota. And I think a lot of times these people committed before because there was kind of uncertainty going on in Manhattan and in Lawrence. Certainly, Nebraska's put themselves right up there in the field of uncertainty. This is a way to start winning the recruits. You go down, and I think this game actually bigger than Oklahoma. Oklahoma's great top five team. Kansas State does not recruit against Oklahoma. They recruit against Kansas. They recruit against Missouri. And showcasing that game in Lawrence, the Sunflower Showdown, that did mean something this year. In previous years, it really didn't. But it was really interesting to me because it was two head coaches going at it head-to-head. Les Miles against Chris Klieman. Les Miles, you know, everybody knows Les, Oklahoma State, LSU, national title. Chris Klieman, a lot of people really didn't know, but I think a lot of hardcore football fans did. His success at North Dakota State, recruited well in the Kansas City area. Kansas City kids going to North Dakota State. Four national titles at the 1AA level. FCS, if you want to call it that. Still call it 1AA. Three is an assistant coach. Two is defensive coordinator. One is a defensive assistant. Seven national title rings. He knows what he's doing. I feel like he's a lifer. But what a performance by Kansas State. And more particularly, how about that of Skylar Thompson? He that doesn't have to look over his shoulder anymore. Remember, Alex Delton was splitting time with Skylar Thompson. Alex Delton transferred before the year started. He went to TCU. Replaced by a true freshman named Max Duggan. Alex Delton, by the way, has already left the TCU program. He did not see it through this year. So not only did Alex Delton make his way to Manhattan with TCU, he's now gone from college football. Skylar Thompson, though, unbelievable. 7 rushing touchdowns in his last 2 weeks. He manufactures the pass and the run. Was the leading rusher for Kansas without Gilbert and Brown in this game. Ends up running for 127. 17 carries, 3 touchdowns. You know what he threw? 16 passes, 129 yards. Translation, that's about as balanced you can get between the run and the pass. Very Bill Snyder-esque with one Skylar Thompson. 7 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. But more impressively, Kansas State in this game, they controlled the clock. We've talked a lot about that with the Kansas City Chiefs. Time of possession. Time of possession for the Cats, 38 minutes, 3 seconds. Kansas Jayhawks, 21-57. But here's the telling mark of it. And keep in mind, Kansas State had 11 penalties for 113 yards. Kansas, just 4 for 55. But the telltale sign was Kansas State running the football without their top 2 backs. Harry Trotter, the transfer from Louisville, did a nice job with 92 yards for Kansas State. But again, it was Skylar Thompson in the 127 of 3 touchdowns. 7 rushing touchdowns against Oklahoma, then their rival, Kansas. But 342 yards on the ground for Kansas State. Just 61 on the ground for the University of Kansas. And it made all the difference in the world. And I think it was a monumental win. Kansas State now goes and faces Texas, a team that's reeling at this point. Texas have lost earlier in the season to LSU. Not a bad loss. We all know how LSU faces Alabama this weekend. But the Texas Longhorns lose to LSU 45-38. Lost a close one to Oklahoma 34-27. Neutral site. But 4-4 TCU beat them by 10 last weekend in Fort Worth. Now it's the Kansas State Wildcats that come face the Texas Longhorns. So we'll see what happens there. But it's all Skylar Thompson. And this guy's been doing it all for the Kansas State Wildcats.
Here's the turn and the fake. Thompson is going to run to the right. He will score! Wildcat touchdown in the Sunflower Showdown. And it's Kansas State on top 6-0 with 7:21 to go in the opening period.
I mean, he just kept going.
Back to throw is Thompson. Here come the Jayhawks. Thompson is going to run. He is at the 10, to the 5. He got in there. Touchdown, Kansas State. The Wildcats score, and it is 23-3. What a play by Skylar Thompson running to the right.
And for the second week in a row, as you heard right here in 610 Sports Radio, Skylar Thompson with a nice call into the game.
Kenny Logan Jr. makes the stop with 22 seconds to go, and that is going to do it. Chris Kleiman and the Cats come to Lawrence. They drub the Jayhawks 38-10, improving to 6-2.
Now, what were the Kansas Jayhawks saying? The Kansas Jayhawks, by the way, a bye this week. They had some momentum going, scored 48. New offensive coordinator, Brent Dierman. Things look great, up-tempo style, 48 points they scored against Texas. And they parlayed that by putting the complete game together against Texas Tech, had people buying it. And people buying into the program and what they're doing. Here's Les Miles talking about the crowd.
Oh, excuse me. I want to say this. I was never, I never so enjoyed an environment, atmosphere. And I can only tell you that our guys truly appreciate those people that were in the stands and rooting for the Jayhawks. I did not notice a lot of purple. It looked like to me that this was bought by guys from Kansas and guys that, and gals that wanted the Jayhawks to win. And it was a loud stadium, and it was a Jayhawk loud.
No, it was a lot like Arrowhead with all the Vikings fans in there. Same color in purple. Andrew Parchment, the outstanding junior wide receiver for Kansas, had this to say. KWCH out of Wichita caught it.
They just came in here and beat our ass, to be honest with you, so ain't nothing else to say.
He said it up right there. Chris Kleiman asked after the game about the win.
I think the collective confidence of the football team's grown over the last 3 weeks because we keep getting better. We keep progressing, and you don't know when your time's called upon. Harry Trotter, whoever else, Keeby today, because he played a lot more when AJ got hurt. But I just think as a football team, we're continuing to improve and get better.
Well, the transfers, Jordan Brown, James Gilbert, wasn't them. It was the transfer Harry Trotter, and it was Skylar Thompson, the quarterback, leading the way for the Kansas State Wildcats. Missouri, on the other hand, a bye week for Missouri to regroup and refresh. Georgia on the horizon, 6 o'clock on ESPN and 98.1 FM, our sister station. Georgia was what Missouri, that was who I'm looking at as the rival now. I know that Arkansas is kind of the manufactured rival in the SEC for Missouri. Soon to be Kansas. Kansas is going to be right back there, the rival, now that they're going to play basketball again. But Georgia was the team to me. And when Missouri went down and paced Georgia in 2013, that was kind of the eye-opening moment, I think, for Gary Pinkel in the Missouri Tigers program. Parlayed themselves all the way to the SEC title game that year against Auburn. They went back the next year, two straight SEC title games, that time losing Alabama. We'll talk to Gary Pinkel about the significance of Georgia and what it's meant to the University of Missouri. The playoff rankings did come out Tuesday. They'll also come out again Tuesday, November 12th, Tuesday, November 19th, Tuesday, November 26th, Tuesday, December 3rd, then the big one, Sunday, December 8th. That's the College Football Playoff Selection Show. As I mentioned, Kansas State has themselves 16th right now in that poll. The top four, Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, and Penn State. No Clemson. There's some people upset that Clemson isn't in it. Here's my thing, Clemson. Wait till this weekend. Alabama plays LSU. 2-3. Someone's losing. You're right back there in the top four. Not to mention November 23rd, Ohio State and Penn State, the same side of the bracket in the Big Ten. They play each other. So Ohio State and Penn State play each other coming up here in a couple weeks. And you have LSU, Alabama this week. Things will start matriculating down. I mean, look out. Look out. This, who's 6-7? It's Georgia at 6, Oregon at 7th. Oregon, actually a good defense in the Pac-12, never plays defense. Utah from the Pac-12 right there. Big 12, not a lot of representation as Oklahoma's coming in 9th, followed by Baylor at 12th, Kansas State at 16th, and Oklahoma State at 23rd in the latest college football rankings. So, big game this weekend. I'll give you my top three games at the end of the show. But coming up next, John Kurtz, K-Man in Manhattan, Faithful to Our Colors podcast on 610 Sports Radio. How big was this win for Chris Klieman? We'll find out next.
Rush the Field with Jay Binkley.
Welcome back to Rush the Field. It's time to talk Kansas State Wildcats with our man, John Kurtz. He's the program director at K-Man in Manhattan. Not only that, but following on Twitter at JL Kurtz. And, of course, check out his podcast on the 435 Podcast Network, Faithful to Our Colors. It's all about Kansas State Wildcats. What's up, John?
Hey, not too much, Jay. How are you?
Hey, man, we talked a lot about it last week, the significance of this game against the University of Kansas. Now, I'm not one of these to say, all right, this game against Kansas was bigger than Oklahoma, because you used to be the top five team. It's hard to say that. But let's be honest. This game, with all the stuff that Kansas was talking, and the fact to go make a statement to the recruits, winning this game in your home state, you could quantify it. It's as big as Oklahoma.
I think in a lot of ways it was bigger. I get the appeal of beating a top-five team, and it was certainly a huge win to beat Oklahoma, and it's given you a lot of national respect, as evidenced by being 16 at the college football playoff rankings. But let's face it, K-State will be competing directly with Kansas for recruits for years to come. It's not going to happen nearly as often with Oklahoma. And I think that's where this game carries a lot of weight, going out and beating Les Miles in year one of two new coaches. In particular, when you're talking about two new coaches on both sides and establishing really who owns this rivalry in this series, it was gigantic. And you know, remember, it had been in the 80s since K-State had a coach not named Bill Snyder beat Kansas. So I think there was some legitimate hope there on the other side. And really the way it played out and how it happened, with Kansas having a sellout crowd and some legitimate excitement with their program before that game, I think it actually works doubly against Kansas, because the fans wind up leaving with the same dissatisfied feeling of seeing the same movie that they've seen over and over again, taking on K-State and just getting totally and utterly dominated. I mean, that was K-State rushed for 342 yards without their two best running backs basically for the entire game. It was about as dominant of a performance as it gets. K-State's defense totally suffocated the Kansas offense. There was never really a point in that game as a Kansas fan where you were having fun at all and thinking that this team was in the game. And I think from that standpoint, it went as perfectly as it could have for the Wildcats, just as satisfying a thumping as the Cats have delivered to anybody in years.
Not only that, it's the depth. We talk about Harry Trotter, you know, being a transfer into the program. Nice game for him, 92 yards rushing. But once again, Skylar Thompson carried the mail, 17 carries, 127 yards, three touchdowns, now seven touchdowns in the last 2 weeks for Skylar Thompson. He has really shown his versatility as a runner lately.
Yeah, he's been great, and it was crazy. They found something in the speed option against Kansas. It worked once against Oklahoma as well, but they went after Kansas with that speed option play over and over again, and I think we're surprised even that Kansas did not adjust to it. In fact, Skylar Thompson said as much after the game, but it's been such a key to opening up K-State's offense. Going back to the TCU game when Skylar had some huge runs on third and fourth downs, he had the 61-yard quarterback scramble, a quarterback draw, I should say, in that game that was key on K-State's go-ahead touchdown drive. That's clearly opened up the offense so much. And Skylar's always been a guy that can run the ball. He's just not built like a Colin Klein. You think of that sort of Snyder 2.0 style that he used there. Skylar Thompson is more Jake Waters-esque running the ball, but that doesn't mean he's not athletic. And I think right now K-State is so comfortable using him in third down situations and then inside the red zone that you're going to continue to see more and more of that. The other thing, too, is that I know Skylar Thompson did have 17 carries. That's more than you would like him to have, ideally. But he's been pretty good at getting out of bounds and knowing when to go ahead and duck and get out of the way and not take big body shots. A little bit different than when it was quarterback power left and right under Bill Snyder, where you're just going to have to take more of those hits. So not all of those carries are necessarily created equally, but that's clearly been just a giant part of why the offense looks so much better.
No question about it. And you think back to that game and what it meant to Kansas State. I mean, they didn't screw around. I mean, 7-3 in the first quarter. Kansas State adds 10 in the second quarter, 7 in the third, 14 in the fourth. It was complete domination, as you said, all the way around. And they limited Carter Stanley. Carter Stanley had been playing well with Brent Neerman, the offensive coordinator. You know, they switch offensive coordinator. Things are going good for Kansas. And limited him in play. I mean, people are really talking to him. Well, look at what he's doing, Carter Stanley. But, man, I tell you what, this defense for Kansas State, they were ready for Dearman. You know, he did a lot of up-tempo stuff, scored 48 on Texas, down at Texas. They beat Texas Tech. But you want to talk about complete domination, as you say, Kansas State, 471 yards to just 241 of Kansas. They did a good job just kind of taking his confidence and reeling it back a little bit.
Yeah, I think that was the big storyline of the game to me, beyond what K-State did running the ball. It's the defense and how they slowed down Kansas' offense to a screeching halt. I mean, Brent Dierman had been such a hot name that the conversations I was having with people in Lawrence leading up to the game were like, okay, is Kansas going to be able to hang on to this guy at the end of the year? And I think he is a coach that is just still young and learning some things, and he ran into a pretty veteran defensive coach in Scotty Hazleton, who had a lot of things schemed up very, very well. For instance, the interception that Carter Stanley threw before halftime to Daquan Patton. Daquan Patton was just sitting right there. Carter Stanley did not see him at all. And after the game, Chris Kleiman said that was a totally new look that K-State threw out defensively. It was not on film anywhere. Really just had Carter Stanley's head spinning the entire game. You combine that with the fact that K-State's defensive line played, I think, their best game of the year and got pressure on Carter Stanley, and Kansas just couldn't do much. K-State on the back end said, we're not going to give up these big plays that you have been, Kansas, getting the last few weeks, and we're going to be able to get pressure with our front four, and that was the recipe to just completely mow down Kansas on the defensive side of the ball for the Wildcats.
And I think it does something to recruits as well. We've talked about it in the past. Turner Corcoran, the best lineman in the state of Kansas, he's committed to Nebraska. Daniel Jackson, the wide receiver at Miege, the number two prospect, committed to Minnesota. Third prospect, Kai Thomas, committed to Minnesota. See, this is stuff they've got to run this. I mean, Minnesota getting two of the top three recruits in the state of Kansas. Nebraska gets number one. They're struggling lately. Then Kansas State starts showing up at 7, 9, and 10. Kansas, 11 and 12 in the rankings. But there was a lot of uncertainty, and I understand where a lot of recruits, they didn't know what was going on in Manhattan. They certainly didn't know what was going on in Lawrence. And I think that was kind of the asterisk by last year's. But if anything, what a win for Chris Kleiman. I mean, you beat a top five opponent in Oklahoma. You go down and beat your in-state rival that was feeling themselves. Sellout in Lawrence, Kansas, first time since 09. Now, granted, It was a lot of K-State fans. But you know what? I think that Oklahoma rivalry or game or that win, you know, kind of got the Kansas State fans excited. See what Klieman, this guy was picked ninth in the Big 12 before the season started, and look at him. And he said, I've covered high school football for a long time. These coaches respect Klieman. You know, he wasn't hesitant to recruit Kansas City kids at North Dakota State. He believed in that. Any pun intended with your miles to go comment there, John?
There wasn't, actually. But, look, I've got all sorts of lines, man. I have Brent's deer in a headlight, deer in the headlights from Saturday. I could go all day with those. I'm not going to lie. I made sure to have some fun with that. Kansas was chirping before that game, and K-State fans have really clapped back. By the way, I don't know if you noticed this, but if you go watch last week's Miles to Go episode,
yeah,
you will find that it was updated as of today, and Kansas clipped out the Who is K-State part of it.
Oh, they clipped that out.
Jayhawks have a little leg on their
front. I actually made that show one time. It was one of the first episodes. I was talking about Miles, and I don't think it was in great terms. I don't exactly remember what it was, but I showed up on there. I heard from people, hey, they took your audio, Jay, and they credited 610, but, you know, it was my thoughts on Les Miles. All right, 2:30, you can hear the game right here. 610 Sports Radio, as we're talking to John Kurtz, our Kansas State insider. Kansas State going down to Texas, a team that they've had success against in the past. I'm actually looking forward to this because Texas is a team to me that is mildly underachieved. I understand you lose in the Red River Shootout to the Oklahoma Sooners. I get that. But then the parlay that should have been a little angry. Should have been a little angry losing 34-27 to Oklahoma. Let Kansas come down and put 48 on them. Then they go to TCU and lose by 10 on a TCU team that I don't think has a ton going for them, to be quite honest with you, John. And then, of course, Kansas State this weekend. This Texas team already sitting with three losses. I get it. LSU, that was a good loss. If there is such a thing as a good loss, 7-point loss to LSU. It looked like they were going to be better than what they are.
Texas, I think, is a fascinating team right now in terms of where is their head going to be at going into this game, because it's an outside chance at best that they are going to find a way into the Big 12 championship game and have a shot to win what was undoubtedly one of their goals this year. They're not going to the college football playoff, which is really, I think, where a lot of the expectations were for this Texas team this year. And so what do they have coming off of a loss like that in the bye week? What do they have left in the tank? Does Texas care about playing this game against K-State and playing out the rest of their schedule? That was a bad loss to TCU, and I know Texas is beat up. I will say the one thing that scares me about this game is I do feel like K-State is catching, in all likelihood, Texas at a bad time, because the Longhorns desperately needed that bye week to get healthy. Caden Stearns is back in their secondary, who is a very good player, a potential All-Big 12, kind of a safety who missed the last 4 weeks. So Texas will be rested and recouped from a health standpoint. See how bad their secondary was against Kansas a few weeks ago, and they desperately needed some help back there. And after K-State, I mean, you've just played two games back-to-back that were pretty emotional for you, obviously beating the number 5 team in the country, and then the bulletin board material and everything leading up to that game against Kansas and Les Miles. Do you have enough left in the tank if you're K-State to ratchet back up the intensity there for a team that is well-rested on the other side? So I think there's actually a lot that would indicate here Texas should have the advantage. Plus, the Wildcats are a bit beat up also. A.J. Parker's going to be out for this game and for the foreseeable future with an ankle fracture. He is K-State's best corner, I think, in all Big 12, kind of a corner. And then two running backs, Jordan Brown and James Gilbert, still beat up in their status, iffy, going into that game on Saturday. So, unfortunately, reading the tea leaves, a lot of this would tell you that Texas has the upper hand. It's just a question of whether or not the Longhorns will be motivated to go play K-State.
Does it not look like Gilbert's going to go?
He's the one that's more up in the air. James Gilbert did show up on Tuesday to the media session, and he says he could have played on Saturday. I don't know about that. I watched him in warm-ups. He did not. He looked very, very gimpy. They seem pretty confident, the coaches do, that Jordan Brown will be able to play. I think Gilbert is going to be a game-time decision.
Final thing for you, John. The college football rankings came out this week, as they will each and every Tuesday leading up to the final one there in December. 16th for the Kansas State Wildcat. I think that's at the ultimate respect, too. Three Big 12 teams, well, actually four in the rankings, with Oklahoma State coming at the bottom. But Oklahoma, Baylor, and then Kansas State. And one thing I like about this is Kansas State ranked one ahead of undefeated Minnesota. Minnesota ranked 17th. Kansas State with two losses at 16th, that, and just saying it's right between Notre Dame and Minnesota. But I thought the college football playoff rankings gave Kansas State some nice props.
I thought a lot of respect shown there. I did not think K-State was going to be there at all. K-State, even, a funny story, they had some graphics made up already to get ready to tweet when the rankings came out. They had to scramble and make a graphic up for number 16 because they did not plan for it being that high, which is very interesting. I think it's nice to be in front of Minnesota because K-State is bumping up against P.J. Fleck quite a bit in recruiting
for guys
like Ty Thomas out of Topeka. So, you know, there is a little carrot, I think, for the Wildcats there. And what's interesting to me about it is that it seems like since Klieman first got here to K-State, the national respect level for him has been higher than the local and regional respect level for him. It's not that right now K-State fans don't respect Chris Klieman. It couldn't be further from the truth. But the Wildcats were, I think fans were very surprised in general to see K-State at 16, whereas nationally the selection committee says, no, you guys are the number 16 team in the country. And when he was hired, K-State fans revolted, did not like the hire at all, when nationally it was received pretty well. And a lot of praise was heaped on K-State for that. So it seems to continue that sort of a trend there. But it's very nice. I mean, if K-State wins out, they certainly could be in the running for a New Year's Six Bowl.
It's great because Kai Thomas, as you mentioned, the running back, the third best prospect in Kansas, going to Minnesota than Daniel Jackson, the wide receiver at Bishop Miege, committed to Minnesota as well. John Kurtz, JL Kurtz on Twitter, K-Man in Manhattan, also does the 435 Podcast Network, faithful to our colors, an outstanding look at Kansas State. Thanks a million, John.
Hey, anytime, Jay. Appreciate it.
Kansas State, thanks to John Kurtz right there. Kansas State already with 6 wins at Texas versus West Virginia at home, at Texas Tech, then Iowa State to close out the season before the bowl game. For Kansas State. Coming up next, Gary Pinkel, the significance of Mizzou playing Georgia. It was the game that turned around the program at Missouri being in the SEC. We'll talk to Gary Pinkel about that next.
Joining us now, as he does each and every week, a Rush the Field, the all-college football show, Coach Gary Pinkel, the all-time wins leader at Missouri and Toledo. Not to mention, as we talk about, and we'll bring it up again, the 100-Yard Journey, his book. Go to GaryPinkel.com. That's the best way to get it. It's right there in front of you to order it before Christmas. Dave Matter did a great job on the book in the foreword done by Nick Saban. Coach, how we doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
We're doing good, Coach, doing good. Missouri Tigers, this is a big game against Georgia this week, Coach. A bye week last week for the Tigers. And now Georgia. Here's the thing, Coach. I know that Arkansas is kind of the manufactured rival in the SEC. It looks like Kansas might be on the horizon for Missouri, a natural rival, of course. I've always looked at Georgia as a rival, and I don't know if I'm silly or not, Coach, because I felt like that was a coming of age when you went down there and beat Georgia in back-to-back years, parlaying yourself to the SEC title game. But it started with that first win at Georgia.
Yeah, it really was. That's a great school. I mean, Athens, Georgia is just a suburb or like 30 minutes, 40 minutes outside northeast of Atlanta. Yeah, and great recruiting. I didn't realize it was such a great job until I got in the SEC, but it's a great venue to play in. It's over 90,000 people, and very fortunate to have some big games, 13 we played down there. And it was really, really a big, big game for us. And certainly, I think we had a fourth in the nation that year, but it's a great environment to play in. And I always tell my players, you know, don't fear playing in places. Just get excited about playing in some of the great places in the country and, you know, and playing your best. And that's kind of, you know, you should be excited about playing in places like that.
Coach, you were on a roll. You got a chance to play them. I don't think the nation had quite seen just how exciting your team was to watch. And I felt like that was a game. I think it was on SEC Network, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was further in the year that you started showing up on some of the channels that a lot of people have. But that game to me, Coach, it signified you're ready to roll because Georgia was a big place, seventh in the country when you went down and beat them there at that point. And you had been undefeated that year. You only had a couple games in the SEC. I think just one, actually. I think it was Vanderbilt was the only SEC team that you had played, and you played your former school, Toledo, that year as well. But when you win that game 41-26 on the road, do you think it was at that point people started looking at Missouri saying, all right, this team can play in the SEC?
And I think you have to prove yourself always, and I think that's I have no problem with that. And I thought we had a really good football team. That football team was a lot better in the first of October than they were in September, and a lot better than November than October. You've heard me say that before. Mm-hmm. The teams that really get better are really fun to coach. And, you know, that really kind of, when you have a win like that, that propels you. It just kind of ignites you. And you got to use that energy not to feel great about yourself. You can for a little bit, but you got to use that energy to keep playing better, to keep winning so that you have great opportunities as the rest of the season goes on.
Yeah, it was one of those games. I just remember, for some reason, I always considered Georgia. And I'd gone down, of course, to Columbia the first time you played Georgia in the SEC. I went out a couple times and saw some of the great running backs in the program that they have. But big for Missouri. And here's a weak coach, Kelly Bryant. You know, Barry Odom talked, you know, he looks like he's ready to go. I don't know if he could have played if it was yesterday, but he'll probably play this weekend. Taylor Powell, of course, the quarterback in the waiting there. How difficult is that as a head coach trying to prepare two quarterbacks just in case? Kansas City's going through that with, you know, Pat Mahomes and Matt Moore. You know, sometimes you just never know who you're going to start. What's that?
Yeah, it's happening all across the country this year. College, NFL, everything. It's just crazy with the way it is. And so, you know, I think, first of all, people understand that the player won't determine if he plays, that the medical staff does. So a guy could say, I want to play, I can play. But at the end of the day, that's why you have professional people. That's why you have people to help them make those calls so that you don't put the player in harm's way. So, you know, I certainly hope he plays. But at the end of the day, you know, the medical staff will determine it. And if not, you got to adjust and move them over, move them up. It sounds kind of cruel, but at the end of the day, that's what you have to be able to do. You have to, you know, back up players, just get themselves ready to play. And a lot of times, stars are born in situations like this, too. So it'll be a great opportunity for somebody else. And, you know, we still, great things can still happen, but this is obviously a big game.
Well, they're coming off that bye week after Vanderbilt and Kentucky on the road. Here's another road game at Georgia. And it's one of those things, too, Coach. I mean, would you rather have that bye week to refresh, or would you have rather played Georgia last weekend?
Well, I think, you know, I'm a realist, you know, and the bye's where they're at. We know being in season where they're at. And when you come to, you just have a plan for when you have and what you're going to do. I think most of all, that's the most important, what you're going to do with your football team. But you generally decide that in June and July. So, you know, if that's what it turned out, we had a bye. Use your advantage. Get the guys refreshed, ready to go. Hopefully get some guys healed up. You have an extra time preparing because, you know, you don't have an opponent, so you can get video to the players quicker, and they should maybe be as prepared or most prepared as you could ever be. So you can really look at, use it as your advantage, and I certainly think that that's something Barry probably did.
Coach, I know you're short on time tonight. Obviously, you're doing a lot of stuff. I want to ask you about the college football playoffs. So the rankings came out this week. Ohio State was 1, LSU 2, Alabama 3, Penn State 4, Clemson left on the outside at number 5. And there was, you know, a little bit of complaining here and there, not necessarily here in Kansas City, but you pay attention to what they're saying in other places. And I don't really see the complaining because to number 2, LSU plays number 3, Alabama. Then on the 23rd, you have number 1, Ohio State playing Penn State. So Clemson can slide right in there, maybe even as soon as this weekend. So much to go, but it's very unusual. 2 plays 3, and then you have 1 versus 4 here in just a few short weeks.
Yeah, that's what happens. It'll play itself out. And I think for the most part, that you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, you always think of the middle of the year that, boy, they're going to have 700 teams at the end of the year. Well, they play themselves out at the end, and that's kind of cool that it happens. And it's real exciting, I think. And I think it's good to have, you know, I'd rather have a full playoff system, but they don't. Oh, so we have some people there that are professionals to try to help make good decisions. And I think since they've done this, I think it's really gone in a positive way. I don't know if our listeners here heard anything here, but I'm at an airport here flying. I've got to fly out. So.
Well, you got to fly anyway, out, Coach. I get that completely. But I am looking forward to LSU-Alabama this weekend, Coach. Not going to lie. I mean, Joe Burrow versus Tua. Come on.
Holy smokes. That's going to be a great, great football game. It's really exciting.
Well, the one thing too, Coach, and it's kind of funny. I was looking at a mock draft by a guy that's pretty reputable in the business, and I counted them. 7 players in the first round from the 2017 recruiting class of Alabama, including Tua, that he had going number 1. And that's not even including like Najee or Devontae Smith. We can actually see 9 Alabama players from one recruiting class in the first 1 or 2 rounds. That is insane what Nick Saban's been able to do.
Yeah, well, it's a consistency. I've said it to you before. You know, obviously I know him really well. But at the end of the day, the consistency of how he does things, he doesn't deviate. And he replaces a lot of staff because he gets a lot of guys to become head football coaches. But he will go down as the greatest college football coach ever. One of his guys he always liked and was that really helped him was Bill Belichick and Don James. So I'm kind of know both those guys too. So, but at the end, they've done a great. That should be a great, great football game to watch, and hopefully we can watch it after we get a big win against Georgia.
Well, you've been around some good coaches, Coach. That's definitely for sure. But I do want to mention your book again. It's called The 100-Yard Journey. You can find it at GaryPinkle.com or GPMade.com. You can go to either one of those URLs, and you can find it there. Amazon, various other places, Barnes & Noble. I knew you had it there for a while, and you can also see Gary's foundation in the good stuff that he's doing for a lot of people. But gave this book out, Coach, when you came to the studio, signed a few of them. I appreciate it, and the people appreciated it. So I definitely encourage you. I mean, Christmas will be here before you know it, so you might as well get a head start.
That's awesome. Well, thanks, and let's have a great weekend this week. Okay?
All right, Coach, all the best to you. Take care.
Okay, bye.
There you go, Gary Pinkle right there. Big game for Missouri at Georgia. They kind of let things slip through their fingers with that Vanderbilt and Kentucky loss. They're right there at the top of the SEC East with the game at Georgia and then Florida at home. So Missouri kind of let that slip through their fingers. Coming up next, we switch gears and talk University of Kansas, as we always do each week with Josh Klingler, sideline reporter at the University of Kansas. How big of a setback was the Sunflower Showdown for the Jayhawks? We'll talk to Kling next.
Welcome back to Rush the Field. Time to talk Kansas Jayhawks with the one, the only, Josh Klingler from Fesco in the Morning, 5:58, Monday through Friday, plus the sideline reporter for the Kansas Jayhawks football team. Kling, good night.
Well, it's the bye week, so I wish we had more positive vibes coming out of last week, but we'll see how they handle not having the game this week and just all about practice and recruiting, I guess, when you're on the bye.
Was that kind of deflating for Kansas? I mean, that was not how I thought that game would go at all, to be honest with you. I like Kansas being on a roll, what they did at Texas with Dearman. I like what they did finishing a game against Texas Tech. They sold out the booth the first time since 2009, albeit a lot of Kansas State fans, regardless, still a sellout. People are feeling good about that program. Was that a setback or a glitch?
I think a little bit of a glitch, but I think everybody involved, including the head coach, was hoping to put on a better show when the place was packed. So, I mean, they had kind of asked fans to come out a little bit on faith, right, and then showed some production for a couple of games, and I think tried to recruit as many people to come out, and if they hadn't seen the product before, to see it again, and to have K-State kind of really just put their thumb on them for an entire game was certainly disappointing. But, you know, I think they have made some strides, and they aren't that far away from the team that was the 2 weeks prior. So I'm guessing they'll get back to that during the bye week a little bit and get there. But they put a lot of, you know, emotion into this game, and certainly getting all the fans in the stadium as well was a big goal. So to not perform as well as they thought they could heading into the matchup was certainly disappointing. But I think they made quite a few strides. They just have to remember that. I'm guessing this week's a little bit about that with the coaching staff too, right? Kind of building back up the confidence level that was pretty good heading into the game, and had to be a little bit down. I know it was from some of the players I talked to after the game against K-State.
Yeah, they're feeling good about themselves. Kansas, the 10 out of 10 teams in rushing defense. That really was the story. We talk all the time with the Chiefs, claiming the time of possession. Kansas State dominating this one 38 minutes to 21 minutes. But the biggest difference was on the ground. 342 yeah. for Kansas State, 61 for Kansas. And you're talking about guys like Harry Trotter, you know, stepping up for Gilbert, who's basically led the Wildcats in every game but two now. It's Skylar Thompson, the quarterback, 17 carries, 127 yards and three touchdowns. I really felt like Skylar Thompson put a great – this is back to Bill Snyder throwback quarterbacks, can run, they can throw, just 129 yards passing but 127 yards rushing. Couldn't be any more split than what he was. 16 pass attempts, 17 rush attempts. That's about as balanced as you can get from Skylar Thompson.
And didn't really need to throw that much either. I mean, they had the option game working early and often, and Kansas had no answer for it. So they could have run, and I think they did. I think they did find a few different plays that were working for them, and they just kept going to the well, and Kansas didn't have a lot of answers to to it, especially with the quarterback option game, which they hadn't shown a ton of. They had the week prior a little bit against Oklahoma, but it hadn't been something that they had used as a strength. But they ran it a couple times, found success, and as you mentioned, third and fourth string running back stepping in there and running the football awfully well. K-State played great, I thought, in that matchup and really put some distance. I know Kansas wanted to at least kind of feel like they closed the gap on K-State, but K-State certainly put out the stiff arm.
A bye week for the Kansas Jayhawks, but then a daunting task. Really, the last four games of Kansas for Kansas, tough. Kansas State at home, at Oklahoma State, that's ranked in the college football rankings. Then at Iowa State, always a tough place to play with Matt Campbell and the way he gets them playing. And then finishing off against the Baylor team that's been exceptional this year. So the road, not much easier for the Kansas Jayhawks.
No, not at all. Certainly going out on the road is not been an easy task for previous Kansas teams, right? They did pick up a road win earlier this year at BC and can kind of lean on that a little bit. Iowa State, as you mentioned, always a tough place to go. And then who knows where Baylor's sitting by the time that rolls around at the end of the season. That would be a massive game for Baylor or a huge opportunity to play a big role of spoiler for Kansas. But certainly won't be easy those last three games. I know the Texas Tech and K-State games were the ones a lot of fans had circled as ones that in year one for Les Miles could be games that you could get with fellow first-year head coaches. So to get one of two, I guess, is okay. But, yeah, the momentum feels like they're going to have to probably pick it up again and have to play a lot better football for these last three games.
Josh Klingler, sideline reporter for the Kansas Jayhawks, also the co-host, Fesco in the Morning, 5:58 each day, Monday through Friday. Make sure you check them out tomorrow as they talk Chiefs against the Titans. Thanks a lot, Kling.
You bet, Bink.
And there you go, Josh Klingler, University of Kansas talk right there. And back to Pinkel for just a second. We talked to him about 8:30. And one thing is interesting is Brandon Kiley does the True Sun podcast here. It's all about Missouri. On the 435 Podcast Network, you have Josh Klingler Sean Levine with the Mass Street podcast for Kansas, John Kurtz with the Faithful Tour Colors, Kansas State, and True Sun podcast with Brandon Kiley. He had TJ Moe on. He's been very opinionated about the coach, and he doesn't believe in firing Barry Odom. Give this guy a chance is what TJ Moe says. Here's TJ.
My support hasn't wavered at all, so I'm not sure why people get those so confused. It's like everybody's personal goal on Twitter to get me to say fire Barry Odom, and it's just not going to happen because I don't base my opinion on singular games, and I especially don't base my opinion when a coach has 3 years of growth for a team and then starts a season 5-1 off of two bad games. I'm not going to do that. Now, if you struggle and you have games and periods of time where everything is not going perfect, well, that's called being normal. This season is not perfectly the same, but similar to our 2009 season. It just so happens that Gary Pinkel had some really big years before that. But in 2009, we beat Illinois, nearly lost to Bowling Green, probably should have, started out 4-0, then got beat by Nebraska on a Thursday night when they had no business beating us, and they came back. Oklahoma State beat us, and then we got blown off the field against Texas, and everybody's saying, what happened to this Gary Pinkel team? What the hell is the matter with you? And this is sort of where this team is finding themselves right now. Their backs are up against the wall, and they got to start swinging. We had a team that ended up swinging, and we finished that season 8-4 before the bowl game. That's similar to where this team is. I don't think there's a big place to be making judgments on a coach who has had more wins every season that he goes about and then have two poor games and say, see, there's justification. He should be fired. Everybody who supported him is an idiot.
There's TJ Moe on the True Sun podcast, the Brandon Kiley. Interesting stuff there. Of course, TJ played for Gary Pinkel and the University of Missouri. And the one thing is quarterbacks. Missouri's always had him. You know, Barry Odom had Drew Locke. You know, Gary Pinkel, very instrumental in Drew Locke coming to University of Missouri. It's a big deal. And to lose to Vanderbilt and then lose to a wide receiver at Kentucky, Lynn Bowden. They had a wide receiver playing quarterback. He's their leading receiver this year and a leading receiver this year. Not good for the University of Missouri. As we do each and every week to kind of wind down, Rush the Field. Top three games of the weekend. Grab your popcorn. Order your pizza. Get your beer cold. Here's what we got going, Julio, and we'll talk about some of these tomorrow night. Penn State, number 5 against number 13, Minnesota. How about that? Minnesota Golden Gophers are undefeated. Not only that, they're not getting the respect. And they haven't played very many people, but they are undefeated. But the one thing about Minnesota is it's funny. They're 8-0. They're 17th in the new college football playoff rankings. Kansas State, 6-2, is ahead of them at number 16. So I'm sure that they feel just a little bit slighted, do the Golden Gophers. 11 a.m. on ABC for that one. I like to do 11 a.m., 2:30, and 7. You don't have to miss much. Number one, LSU, AP-wise, against Alabama, 2-3 in the college football rankings. 2:30 on CBS. And I'll be honest with you, this could be a good game. Tua versus Joe Burrow. This is a Heisman Trophy type game. You win this game, all of a sudden you're the front runner. It's that simple. But you know what? It's attrition. College football, this is essentially a college football playoff game between Alabama and LSU. It makes a difference in the SEC title game. So Alabama versus LSU, 2:30 on CBS. Looking forward to this one. And then at night, how about Iowa State? Three losses this year, but pesky. At number nine, OU. OU is pissed. They had the bye last week after that KSU loss. They got around to sit and think about it. Keep in mind, Jalen Hurts, Heisman Trophy frontrunner again. Kyler Murray had lost a bad game. Baker Mayfield lost a bad game. Could he still get back in the Heisman race? Oklahoma slid to ninth. They're desperate for a big-time win, which is funny because this team is rolling, and with Alex Grinch as defensive coordinator, has been absolutely unbelievable. Thanks to the cast of characters that join me each and every week. John Kurtz talking Kansas State football. Gary Pinkel, the legend, comes on each and every week, talks about Missouri. And Josh Klingler talking about the University of Kansas. And, of course, a big thank you to Julio Sanchez producing the operation. Enjoy Thursday night football with the Raiders and the Chargers. I'm back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. See you then.
Rush the Field with Jay Binkley.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.